Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Sports. The final frontier. These are the voices of the sinner and the saint.
I kick you, and then if you feel well enough, you can kick me in the groin. So if you throw up,
yeah, you're done.
Their weekly mission, to provide hot takes, medium takes, sometimes annoying takes, mild takes, to boldly go where no show has gone before. Luke Anderson.
Oh, Heather Locklear, though. Have you seen her? That's Heather Locklear that smokes. Super. She's a little trashier, so she's like more gettable.
Will Darkins.
I started to get that feeling again, the college football feeling. It's that time where you realize that on Saturdays and Sundays, you can ignore your family.
This is the Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show, presented by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer on 1080 The Fan.
Hi, welcome to Hour 2 of the Sinner and the Saint. If you missed anything from Hour 1, because it's on an hour earlier, first, I apologize. Second, you didn't miss it. You can go on 1080thefan.com and download the Les Schwab Tires podcast. Catch up on all of the insights of Preston Highfield. Just dives in. Oh, I was thinking about Jeff Fisher. I thought I'd mention that because it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
Well, it did.
But thank you for
those.
You
just didn't understand the connection.
Cut his mic. Cut his mic.
He didn't understand the connection.
Oh, geez. No, I got the connection. It was fantastic. But we need to get back into Oregon Ducks football. We talked a little bit about Chip's return to Autzen Stadium a little bit earlier in the show.
It's getting chippy in there.
It was getting chippy. I see what you did there. Very clever. Wow.
It's not playing.
You got a drop you're trying to play?
Yeah.
Go for it. Good. Will's broken the equipment in here.
I'll get it.
He'll get it. Oh, I'll get there. Don't you worry. But we did want to talk about the football side of things, and to increase our football acumen, we brought in former Oregon State running back Marcus Greaves and your color commentator for Southwest Washington High School football.
Yes, sir.
Marcus, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I know you guys are a little big time, and it was the Will Darkins and Marcus Greaves show for a couple weeks, or weekends, I should say, and I think people liked it, but then, you know, you got back, you gave me the boots.
So, No. Listen, we'll have you back anytime. You're just usually, you're too busy for us. You've got a busy life. You're a jet setter. What are you doing? You're going down to Corvallis today, then off to New York, then back to Las Vegas, and then eventually you'll make it back around here. You're too busy for us, so don't try to make this excuse that we're too big time for you.
Especially you, but you are the mayor of Clark County.
Yes.
So the fact, I just want your autograph. Voting season is coming up. It's like a couple days away, and I already voted for you.
I appreciate that. So let's get into some Oregon football. Here's my question for you guys with the big sports brains in here. I can't figure out what the identity of this Oregon offense is. This is the most confusing thing to me. You have a Heisman Trophy candidate, a number one overall draft pick in Justin Herbert. All the hype coming in this year was around the quarterback position, and they're trying to reestablish their identity as a run-first power football team. Are they making a mistake by not leaning on their more talented quarterback?
I think so. Just because when you have that kind of talent, you just have to utilize it. I think what they did, you know, in the past that made them so good was just, you know, they kind of just gave their athletes the ball in open field, and they're like, go do your thing, right? They're not going to try to have their identity was, we're just going to get our athletes the ball in open field, and then from there, they're going to do what they do. And I think that's what they've kind of gone away from. They kind of have gotten, I don't want to say, like, narrow-minded or tunnel vision, but that's kind of how it is. Like, okay, we beat Washington. We're this tough football team, so now we're going to have to be tough with everybody else, and I don't think they've really adjusted so far.
Yeah, and college football is about finding the weak spot in your opponent, right? If they've got a weakness, you need to exploit it, right? You need to go out and go, all right, well, listen, this team has, you know, a weakness up front, let's go and if we have more power, let's go and use it. If they've got a weakness in their secondary, let's try and exploit that the best way we can. The best teams in college football can attack you from multiple different angles. There's other teams like Washington State has always been this air raid offense. We're going to go out. We're going to do the one thing we do well, and we're going to do it well enough to beat you and then hope you don't run into an opponent like they've been in the Mike Leach era, have a devastating issue with the University of Washington, because Washington goes out, we're going to get the best athletes, put them in our secondary, and we're going to stop Washington State and then deal with everybody else as they come. But college football is one of those things where, man, if you get a transcendent talent and you don't utilize them, it's a huge mistake. And I think that's what's happening. And I think Oregon's going to look back on the Justin Herbert era, especially if he leaves after this year, and go, man, we had a real opportunity that we missed with that kid.
Yeah. And you remember in the Washington game, Oregon won that game, but had they lost, there would have been some serious criticism that they didn't use Herbert enough, because Herbert was not used a ton in that game. They ran the ball. Even their game winning touchdown in overtime on third and goal from the six, I think, was a running play up the middle to beat Washington. But what's happened the last 2 weeks is they have not been able to run the ball. And if you listen to what Mario Cristobal says, he constantly preaches, okay, we want balance on offense. We want to be able to establish dominance up front. He's obviously an O-line guy, has an O-line background. But ever since that Penei Sewell injury in that UW game, they haven't been able to run the ball. I mean, I kind of got it against Washington State because it felt like, and Marcus, as a former D1 player, you can probably speak to this better than I could, but it felt like Washington State was just not going to let them run. I mean, they had like seven or eight guys in the box every play, but Arizona, for Oregon to not be able to run the ball in Arizona, I mean, how does that happen?
Right. And, you know, I just know from experience, because I had to, like, we had to play against Justin Herbert, and I think it was his first season playing. And I know that was, I think that was when Oregon was kind of in a slump where they finished 4-8, something like that. But
they carried Gary Anderson off the field after he got the Civil
War. But even that, like watching him play, I was like, this kid is going to be for real. And so if you're right, Luke, they should use every last bit of this kid, because he's probably going to be the number one draft pick if he goes this season. And so when you have that kind of talent, that's what Oregon has done, is they used all of it. They found ways to get everybody the ball and their best athletes the ball. And that's what made him so successful for so long. And I don't think they're doing that right now.
So is this something that makes you worry about the coaching staff that you have and Marcus Arroyo calling the offense? Is Mario Cristobal not a creative enough leader to get the most out of his team? I mean, sometimes you need to change your identity based on your personnel, right? In college football.
Go ahead.
Well, I just think you need to change it. It shouldn't change game to game, but it kind of has to, right? And it's Mario Cristobal's first year, right? And so if he does have critics saying, okay, well, what is he doing? Like, why can't we win these kinds of games? Like, it just takes time. And I don't want to say, you know, Oregon is different than Oregon State. Oregon State is, okay, they're not going to make a bowl game, you know, every season, right? Let's just be real. But with the Ducks, you know, they know it's going to be like that because they have the talent, they have all the pieces, but it just takes time. You have to mold everyone, and it really does take time when you get a brand new head coach. And, you know, the staff is still kind of the same. Some guys left, some guys stayed, but even then, it just takes time. And that's why I'm kind of not too worried about the Ducks. They're going to be fine. They're going
to
be good.
Well, I think everybody said that, you know, we're really going to see who Mario Cristobal is a coach when he has to get all of his players in there. And when Justin Herbert leaves, I think that's when the real truth about who this team is going to be. Bring in more of his guys, see what they can do when you have, you know, a full recruiting cycle to go on.
Yeah, if you look at their recruiting classes right now, it's insane. Like, where they are going to be in 2 years on the lines, especially. I mean, Cristobal's got – he's building – he knows what he's building.
He's trying to bring power football to the Pac-12. Yeah. This won't look like the Oregon teams of Chip Kelly. Ironically, the game this week is against Chip Kelly. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit bigger picture college football. Some big games. We've already gotten into LSU, Alabama in the first hour, but we'll get to some of the other games, Michigan, Penn State, and others. But first, let's throw it over to Preston Highfield with your traffic and weather. Take a number. All right, before we get too much into the rest of college football, Will, I know you were dealing with a technical issue. What do you want to see from Oregon in this game if they're going to reestablish themselves at all? The articles are so funny when you see the headline. Oregon needs to re-identify themselves as a run-first team. They have Justin Herbert. Throw the friggin' ball.
Yeah, that's kind of what you would think, but at the same time, I think they're wrestling with identity issues on offense, obviously, is that you try to fit Justin Herbert in the best way with this quote-unquote power scheme that Arroyo and Cristobal are doing,
And at the end of the day, you don't really focus on trying to get the ball to players in space, right? And you also have a huge problem with wide receivers. I mean, Dillon Mitchell is your only target. At least that's what it seems like.
And certainly Arizona, feels that way, yeah.
Arizona did an extremely good job of doubling him up and pressing him at the line and basically making it so you couldn't throw. The only guy that I am just completely disappointed with when it comes to offense this season is Jacob Breland. I thought he would become a way bigger factor at the tight end position. You know, Cristobal talked about this heavy hitting style of play that he wants from the Oregon offense. And, you know, tight end is pretty crucial when it comes to doing something like that. So I don't know. You have to see a lot of improvement across the board. And of course, at the end of the day, you have to see Justin Herbert have his moment. Have yet to see it.
Yeah. And we'll see if that comes to light at all. But now Oregon, you know, what do they need? Two wins to become bowl eligible, right? I guess that's kind of the big change in what we're seeing from Oregon, where a couple weeks ago after they beat Washington, if people were talking playoff and, you know, how quickly your fate changes in college football. So hopefully the same thing happens to Alabama after they lose to LSU today. Hey, they've only beat two teams with winning records so far. That's another thing about Alabama being so great. They've beaten 2-5-3 teams. So those are your team with winning records. Come on, get off your high horse.
I love listening to Alabama haters. They're so funny.
Well,
yeah, I mean, dude, come on. Like,
you just hate because they're good.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't deny that.
saying that they're overrated because of their schedule is kind of absurd. If you've watched them play games, like, they're beating people 50-0 in the first half, like every game.
Yes, but they're playing bad teams, and you're supposed to do that.
But when they play good teams, what do? They still beat them.
Well, they haven't played a good team. That's my point. That's why this game is so interesting. So, Marcus, you weren't here when we got into the conversation earlier, but one of the things that's set up is that Alabama is set up to lose this game and stay on track for a college football playoff because you put LSU number three in the rankings. So, listen, if you can't hate Alabama, who can you hate in college football?
You're right.
Nick Saban has no personality. He tried to show one this week when he's talking about the coin toss. What do you do the coin toss? I hope we get a chance to kick.
Yeah.
Ass.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Florida.
Thank you. You hate the top teams, and I hate all of them. So well done, Will.
By the way, Nebraska's up on Ohio State 7-0. Nebraska is back.
That's the other biggest mistake you can make in college football is going, hey, a team's up with 3 minutes off the clock. They're going to
win
the
game. That was the lamest update I've ever heard.
That was the joke. That was the joke.
I'm 7-0. Nebraska's back. They're ready. They're going to make the run.
That's what I expect you to do on those updates over there for this show.
Well, you guys are upset because people were announcing that Oregon was back. Preston, you're the first one to tear down those banners.
Oh, yeah. Oregon football's not back. No, they're not back. I mean, dude, they lost. They got killed by Arizona.
Well, yes, they did.
Arizona's not good.
No, they're
Arizona's not good.
As a matter of fact, they're bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
Do you guys see any other games that look like upsets for you? We've got Penn State, Michigan. We've got, you've got Nebraska, Ohio State. Are there any other games in college football that you're looking at and circling that you expect to see any upset movement?
I am jacked for the Texas Tech Oklahoma game.
Really?
Remember that was the game 2 years ago where there were like 1600 yards. Patrick Mahomes literally threw for 700 yards in one game, 700 yards. In one game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, I thought that was every Big 12 game.
There were people in the 60s who didn't throw for 700 yards in a season.
Yeah, but isn't that the
Big
12?
We were also fighting Vietnam, Preston. So thanks for bringing that up. Can't believe you, dude. We're talking about college football, and you bring up Nam.
Yeah, that is pretty terrible.
What the hell is wrong with you, Preston? Yeah, I think seriously. I'm going to leave after this. I had enough.
Give me a break.
So I was going to talk about that game, but I guess I can stop.
No, you're good. Cause here's the thing is people are looking at the college football playoff and we've kind of gotten into it. You need somebody in the Big 12 to lose. Do you think Texas Tech has a legit shot at taking out Oklahoma?
I do because Oklahoma has a new defensive coordinator. Remember they fired Mike Stoops. His name's Ruffin McNeil. However, he has been doing a pretty good job with this Oklahoma defense. They've improved the last couple weeks. I read a stat that, they've held opponents to under 300 yards a couple weeks in a row, so they're improving on defense.
So you're picking the upset, reason for the upset is because Ruffin McNeil has improved the defense.
I just want to
make sure I'm tracking this.
No. Well, that would be pro Oklahoma. I'm not picking the upset. I'm pro Oklahoma. I'm saying there's a game that could be an upset. Oklahoma on the road, and remember, if Oklahoma wins out, they're probably going to the college football playoff. It's not a guarantee, But if they win out, that would include a Big 12 title game. It would include a win over Texas. So Oklahoma's got a lot of credentials to make the playoff. Well, and this is a big trap game for them. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I think the biggest game that you really need to look at is Penn State and Michigan.
Ooh, okay.
It has to be that because Michigan is the only team now in the Big Ten. And I know that we're going to talk about Ohio State and everything, but I feel like Ohio State has one more loss in them. We have to kind of just assume that. I feel like Michigan is your best chance to get a Big Ten team into the title conversation or the playoff conversation. I just feel like there's so much carnage in that conference that you have a team like Penn State who Trace McSorley, as much as we love to make fun of him as a reported drinker, abuser of alcohol.
He's using air quotes for everybody that's not watching this on television.
Yes. We have thoroughly drug Trace McSorley's name through the mud on this show.
All of we've said about Trace McSorley is that he drives a truck. Yes. And I still believe that.
He drives a truck. Well, it's not a truck, it's a Subaru Baja.
It's a Subaru Brat.
Brat,
which
yes.
is a truck.
Yes.
Let's be honest. The Brat.
In all technical terms, it's a truck. But all I'm saying is
it's a utility vehicle. There's
Michigan
no
has the greatest chance, I think, of any of those teams to make it into the college football playoff. I think there's huge concern right now for Ohio State. If you're looking at that team and you look at Urban Meyer, he's been telling the press that, you know, health-wise, he is not doing well. This team is very, very, very known for losing late in the season. I think that this Michigan game is really important.
Well, and they're losing right now. Ohio State's losing to Nebraska.
Yeah, 7-0 upset alert.
Upset alert. Oh, upset alert.
Boom.
But clearly the best loss, I think, for a team in the Big Ten is that loss for Michigan it's a Notre Dame loss in a close game week one. So I think there's a little bit of room to forgive that. But the other game, too, is Kentucky-Georgia on the other side of the SEC conversation. And I wonder how much the opponent matters in the SEC championship game. Because if you have a team that can actually knock off Alabama or LSU, whoever you have play in it, I think the team is Georgia. I'd be very surprised if Kentucky can do that. So you'd like to see Georgia round back into form. And you saw when they got a chance at redemption last year, you know, they can, when you get two shots at a team, it's not easy to do.
Yes. Always hard to beat the same team twice. That's the old adage.
Yeah. So a lot to look at. But right now, I think that the big thing is just look for chaos at the top.
Yeah, you root for chaos at the top, but at the same time, it kind of turns into moments where you have teams that really shouldn't be there. Now, I'm not going to be somebody that's going to really attack the Big 12, or I'm sorry, the Pac-12, you know, very much. But I think if Washington State gets into the playoff, you could have a nightmare scenario in that they're going to be completely overmatched by an Alabama team, a Clemson team, any team. Look, the Pac-12 sucks. It's just not very good.
Thank you, Will.
They're just not very good. And so if you have a Washington State team that can somehow get past the Apple Cup, and then, of course, what we just assume, they could beat the South opponent in the Pac-12 title game, I think it's a scary thought to have Alabama go up against that offense.
Sure.
Dude, Alabama will tear you apart, and Washington State's defense is nothing. They're not great.
Well, again,
it's a bend, don't break.
Again, here's why your best hope is to have Washington State win out, Oklahoma win out, UCF win out, Notre Dame win out, and then you have chaos in the Big Ten.
And a lot of win outs.
And the well, but again, because then what you do is you have this illusion that Washington State deserved to be in there, and it's sitting on the outside looking in, and then they get a chance to go out and have a nice, you know, beautiful weather day on down in Southern California and go whip the ball around the yard, and people go, oh, look what they did in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
They should have been in there, and they'll
beautiful.
Get an opponent. They'll get an opponent that's less than, and they'll play against Wisconsin or somebody or Iowa.
Mm.
And now you've got this fodder Iowa for football. The conversation.
Yeah, that's the best part.
But that's what you want is this chaos. You want UCF to be left out and beat another team like Auburn, because if you want to expand this college football playoff, I'm not opposed. Like, I don't know why everybody's so upset about the idea that if you had eight teams, you'd have blowouts in week ones. We get blowouts every week in college.
Ruin
football.
The game.
Yeah. Ruin
the game.
Even sometimes when you have top ranked teams that they just flat out get blown out. Like it just happens. So if you expand it, it's just not only money wise is the NCAA going to look a lot better, right? Because that's at the end of the day what it's all about. But you just get some matchups that you would never see, right? Like if you could see like a UCF play Washington State or something like that, I think that'd be super cool. And I think a lot of fans and a lot of watchers would like to see something like that, because the four teams, because you're like, okay, there's probably going to be two SEC teams as usual, maybe an ACC.
As usual. I like that now it's usual. It's happened once, and now it's
no,
per
but,
usual.
No, but what it I'm is saying is that when it, right when it comes down to it, if it's between another Pac-12 team or another SEC team, who are they going to take every time?
Yeah.
It's always going to be like that. So yeah. It'll be nice to open it up and finally have, you know, if they can get eight teams in and then – those matchups, I think, would be super cool.
And I do think that's the best possible result for the Pac-12 is that Washington State plays in a New Year's Six bowl game that isn't the playoff because they're not an elite team. They're not going to beat Bama or Clemson, or the odds certainly are not in their favor. But if they do beat like a second tier kind of Michigan or Iowa or Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, then they can brag about that and they can say bring on the 8-team playoff, and that's just another argument in their favor.
They'll never bring on the 8-team playoff.
Oh, I think they will.
No,
I think they will.
I think there's too much
money to be made not to.
I think that at that point you kind of disrupt the delicate balance of competition and money because that's what college football is trying to do. Dude, stop pretending
it's amateur.
I mean, it's funny that you care about competition. That's like saying student athlete.
Out of conference like games now already have lost a lot of relevance. They literally have. Even after Washington got thoroughly beat by Auburn. Everybody goes,
thoroughly.
They got thoroughly beat. It was very obvious that Auburn was a better team.
Yeah, but they only won by like six or three.
But it was very, very obvious. You could just tell. And so even after that game, everybody goes, oh, Washington still's got a chance.
Yeah, but Washington's terrible. They lost to Oregon.
But after that game, everybody goes, oh, still have a chance for the playoff. Easily.
Yeah. And then Auburn started 1-3 in the SEC.
If you expand that to 8.
Yep.
Nothing matters. Literally nothing will matter if you're a Power 5 team in the pre-conference.
Here's the problem with college football that's always been in my mind as an NFL fan is that there's equal value on early season games as there is to late season games, and it shouldn't be that way. You should have a team that has the ability to get better, and if they can play themselves into a conference champion, they should have a reward for that, and having a playoff system is the way to do that. The NFL rewards the best team at the end of the year. They don't reward the best team all year, and this idea that college football, every game matters, yeah, they matter to the fans. You're telling me that Washington fans aren't going to care about the game against Auburn week one because if they lose, it doesn't end their season. That's a good thing. You want to have more teams have a shot later. If we can get to the end of the season, you have 25 teams that have a chance at an 8-team playoff. Doesn't that make football better? The idea that, oh, well, week one games aren't going to matter as much. Good. They're week one games. Week 12 should matter more than week one.
Yeah, college football is the best regular season in sports, and that is the reason that we love it so much because every game matters and you're on the edge of your seat. Like, if we lose this, our season's over. But if the playoff comes around and you can afford to lose 1-2 games, an 18 playoff is what I'm talking about, then that's when the regular season value gets a little bit diminished. And that's what, in my opinion, there needs to be like a conference commissioner an NCAA college football commissioner. And it's a whole big story, but I think that needs to happen.
Every game only matters if you keep winning. Every game doesn't matter for Oregon State. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say, you know, you have like, once Oregon State loses, you know, maybe three or four games, just like the Ducks, too. Once they lost to Arizona, you're like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Now we're going to go to the Sun Bowl or whatever bowl game they have. So, yeah, it's winning. It does matter, but not as much if you lose two games. Exactly. After you lose two games, after that, it's just your pride.
Before we get into our picks for college football and the NFL, let's overhype the Blazers. We'll do that next, right after the news. All right. Thunder. All right, little AC/DC to close it out. If you didn't catch the theme, all the break music or rejoiner music was all about Thunder today. You guys got to cover the Mountain View Thunder last night, huh? My alma mater. We got to talk on the air because Joe Fish was screwing things up.
I know. What was up with the phone line?
Oh, don't worry about that. Poor Joe was trying his hardest. But you guys got to watch the Mountain View Thunder roll yesterday, huh?
Yeah, they might be my favorite team to watch in this area. I'm not going to lie. they might have done it.
Hey, so you guys are covering high school football. This is your first year working together. How much fun have you guys been having going out and doing the play-by-play in those games?
It's fun, man. It's actually, I think, the worst part about it is having to walk through the high school kids. That's it. Everything else is great, right? But you're walking through all those, like, there's like a big group of kids and you're like, this is kind of weird. I'm kind of old. Like, I'm trying to just walk through here and get to the booth. And
it's weird because you made it weird, Marcus.
Well, no, it's just, I don't know, man. I just,
I don't know.
It's been awesome going to the different venues. Kiggins is a cool place. Yep. I've never really been to a football stadium like that, where it's like a half bowl on one side and then a forest on the other side. It's been cool being at these different venues.
Will only covers games at Jesuit because they have the best booster spread around.
Oh, dude, I get so jacked up when they send me to Jesuit games. So you go up into their box, right, their press box. That thing has, like, bagels, cream cheese, lox, sandwiches, chips, cookies, drinks.
Look at this dude.
Like, it's completely catered. And I go in there with my media pass, and I take the food and I eat it. And the best part
is...
What
do you do with the food?
I eat it.
Oh, that's and, pretty good idea.
That's what you're supposed to do. I go there and I eat it, and I turn around, and I have, like, maybe two or three parents kind of looking at me, leering a little bit. And they don't say anything because they know they don't want to get into that conversation, which is, hey, are you supposed to be up here? Yeah, look at the media pass. They don't want me to get in their face. Now, I did get looks from the school's president, who was up there one time, who I only found out later was the school's president because he made it known very audibly when he had
a sash?
No, he had a very loud conversation, like, right next to me when I was watching the game with a parent. And I was like, oh, okay, I should probably not do that anymore.
Well, all right, gents, let's make some college football picks. Last week, we were very dismissive of Oregon State against Colorado. I made the assumption that everybody's going to take Colorado. That was ratified, and we moved on from it. We were all wrong. So I will give you the opportunity to take the Beavs at home against USC, and I'll give it to you first, Marcus. Do you see a win streak for Oregon State?
Unfortunately, no. Okay. I like the Beavs, but I think it's like it finishes 38-17.
All right. Will, you guys beat USC when you played for the Beavs?
Yes.
Any chance they win today?
No, not whatsoever at all. The win last week against Colorado, it was just kind of a confluence of events of Colorado looking worse and worse as the season goes along. I always kind of border on the side of if the other team has just overwhelmingly better talent, they're probably going to win. And Oregon State, again, you need to taper your expectations and realize that this is a team that's completely rebuilding, completely gutting. It's a 5-year project. Whatever positive signs come forward, take them, move on to the next week, and wipe your memory clean.
Perfect.
I'm going to say that SC is going to win this game, but hey, I'll be pleasantly surprised if we can pull
off. I would be happy.
Sure.
We're all rooting for the Beavs and picking USC. I assume you don't have much of a different
thing. Colorado's in last place in the Pac-12 South. That is crazy. They are 2-4 in the conference. I'm taking USC for sure.
For sure. Number 8, Washington State. Anybody, just speak up if you're taking the upset, Cal at Washington State. Anybody?
No, but it's weird because Washington State's only a touchdown favorite.
That's right. Well, 7.5, yeah.
Yeah, 7.5. I mean, a lot of people are thinking it's going to be a close one, even in Washington State.
Well, Washington State's got a stretch of 3 games here where they're playing against Cal, and then I believe they've got Colorado and Arizona in there. So they stay undefeated, or are they going to coug it before they play UW?
I think they coug it.
I hope they don't coug it. Because I want to see that apple cup.
I do want to see it, but right, there's always those one team. There's always certain teams that, you know, when a team in the Pac-12, whenever they play each other, it's just kind of like the mojo's off. Like when Cal plays, you know, Washington State, I feel like Cal always wins. Maybe not. Maybe it was just last year, but it's just kind of that feeling, you know. It's just like whenever Oregon goes down to maybe Arizona, right, they always have like a weird time. I don't know. Maybe it's something like
that. This is as big a week for Washington State as I think the school, at least in my memory, has had in the last decade or more. But Gardner Minshew mentioned as the 4th favorite by ESPN in the Heisman rankings. They jump up to number 8 in the college football playoff poll. So, if there were a time to coug it, this would be
that
it.
Would be the time.
And I am hoping against it with all my might.
Thought they'd coug it against Stanford.
Yeah, that was the opportunity, but wouldn't it be more appropriate if they lost to Cal?
Yeah, Coogan is really awesome when you lose to a bad team. Like if you lose to a good team like Stanford, then you're kind of Coogan it. But if they lost to Cal, they'd definitely.
But I think Coogan it would have counted with Stanford because Stanford is just that team that they lose and win games with no real pattern. Like there's no point to them. really getting out there on the field and trying to predict anything. You don't know what's going to happen. They could be incredible at one point, incredibly average at the other, and then completely awful in, you know, another game. So, well, I don't know.
Speaking of predictions, let's get to the big one. Chip Kelly's return to Autzen Stadium. He won a lot of football games there. Does that continue, or do the Ducks get right the ship as much as they can?
Ducks win. They do.
You'd have to think the Ducks win, but then this is going to really, really, really depend on if Justin Herbert's going to play. That's I haven't true. Heard anything from Twitter, at least on my feed, of Justin Herbert getting out there practicing, doing pregame warmups or anything. And so obviously if Braxton Burmeister is going to get behind center, your chances of winning drastically go down. But you have to take a look at that UCLA roster and, you know, kind of attribute the same theory that I have with Oregon State, right? Oregon, way better roster, more talented. UCLA in complete rebuild mode. Wilton Spate might get out there. So I think you got a good chance of beating UCLA. I'm taking Oregon.
We've heard that Herbert's cleared from concussion protocol and he's practiced. So I would think he's going to play unless he suffered some other injury or setback.
Or they might be preserving him. Who knows?
But he's definitely practiced. Like, we have, there's footage of him practicing. So yeah, I think Oregon wins this thing for sure.
All right. All right.
Running away.
What's that?
They win running away.
Running away, just like they were going to do against Arizona. Just mention that. All right, the biggest game in college football today, LSU, Alabama. Anybody willing to take the upset there?
No, I'm taking Bama.
No, I'm taking Bama.
Easily Bama.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, it's going
to
be electric.
LSU's defense is going to have to play insane. Well, to
Joe
stay
Burrow's
in that game.
Joe Burrow's is going to go nuts. Here's the thing about these prediction guys that you're forgetting is that they don't matter and no one will remember. So I'm taking LSU so I can look smart. And you know what? Here's the thing. Golden State Warriors, the Boston Red Sox, the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's fun to hate great teams. And I'm going to continue to do that because I've done it my entire sports life. I hated Michael Jordan when he was winning 6 straight. So I'm going to pick LSU, and I hope that they crush him. Everybody, enjoy your college football Saturday. There's a great slate of NFL games. Enjoy the Blazers game tonight. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you for joining our show. Thank you to Preston, Marcus, Will for joining the show. Will's, I guess, always on the show. You two goons for joining the show. We're done. Bye-bye.
Enjoy. It's your last chance anyhow. So always look
on. KD, you cheese butt. Where LeBron at? KD, LeBron, he gonna yam on you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.